Just a few little things. On the takedowns, let's go easy. I mean, we got to go in there fast and surprise. Well, I mean,
Sergeant Trent Kempster is with the Tuscaloosa Police Department. He's briefing a roomful of about 30 law officers.
I'm not saying don't go in, go in there easy like a baby. I'm saying go in there fast, quick, but let's watch what we say and how we say it. Let's mean what we're saying.
The group represents police in Tuscaloosa, as well as the nearby city of Northport, the University of Alabama, and the Tuscaloosa County Sheriff's Department. But you might not know that just by looking at them.
But like I said, I'm not in any way saying let's walk in there real slow and like pansies. I mean, let's get in there and mean business on what we're doing, but
no one tonight is in uniform. The male officers are mostly in jeans and sneakers. Some are in T-shirts bearing the logos of sports teams, except for one. His has the Star Wars character Boba Fett on it. They all make up the West Alabama Human Trafficking Task Force, and tonight they're going hunting.
Last weekend, luckily, we didn't lose a single video. We actually had 2 to 3 videos of the deal on every single one.
The attire of the female officers and deputies is even more informal. The goal is to nab Johns looking to buy commercial sex, with the female officers taking turns posing as sex workers. But to hear Sergeant Kempster talk about it, this isn't a bunch of cops playing dress-up. Sometimes it means going into harm's way. We're bleeping the name of the officer involved since she works undercover.
Emily did an absolute fantastic job last week when that guy brought the gun in. I mean, that was quick thinking. That was good heads up. That was good thinking to even say, hey, take it back to the car. I don't feel comfortable with it. So thank you for doing that.
The camera should be on the other one.
Why don't we just try putting it back on the screen?
After the briefing at Tuscaloosa PD, everyone moves to a local motel. We won't say where, since this is an all-night undercover sting operation. An estimated 75% of the sex workers arrested in Tuscaloosa show signs of being trafficked.
She was one of the most traumatized young females that I think I've ever interviewed.
That's Tuscaloosa Police Lieutenant Darren Beams. He runs the task force. Beams used to work homicide. He recalls the one case that convinced him trafficking was worse.
She'd been in the trafficking world since she was 12. She had been forcibly raped since she was 12. She had a child when she was 16. That child, the baby, was placed into the microwave oven by a trafficker. He threatened to turn it on, so he kept her in that life.
The task force is about to net its first suspect of the night. One of the female officers is alone in a motel room as a potential John arrives to talk price. Four more members of the task force are standing outside the back door to the room. The handcuffs go on, and the first suspect is ushered out for booking. One observer for tonight's sting is Christian Lim. You heard him earlier in our series. Lim is leading a human trafficking project at the University of Alabama's College of Social Work. He says he has something in mind that could be a new tool to aid both the people who try to help victims of trafficking, along with the victims themselves.
The best practice, and what I've seen actually work, is when they are sitting down at the table, along with law enforcement, along with mental health, along with, you know, probation and other people, working together to find a solution for this victim.
Christian Lim and his team are designing what's called the first ever internet database meant to be used by everyone involved with trafficking victims. That includes law enforcement, social service groups, and the victims. But Lim admits the database is the easy part. It's changing mindsets that gets tricky.
Yeah, it's a huge shift. And not just for law enforcement. It's a big shift for all of the partners involved.
Here's what Lim means by a big shift.
The shift is really understanding that your role is important and is essential, but so is the role of the person that I had previously been viewing as my adversary. That their role is essential and important in both justice and recovery and restoration.
Lim spent 14 years with the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department. For law officers like him, the shift means getting past the stereotype that cops catch the bad guys and social workers give them a hug.
It was hard.
Tuscaloosa Police Lieutenant Darren Beams.
It was when we first started training the department, we had a lot of officers resist the changing from a transitioning from a criminal approach to a victim approach.
A victim approach means establishing whether a sex worker was forced into it by a trafficker. If an underage minor is involved in the sex trade, they're automatically considered a victim of trafficking. Adults have to be coerced or lured in by fraud or deception. Lieutenant Beam says there's a catch.
A lot of them that are involved in commercial sex know the language that we're looking for.
In other words, people in handcuffs tend to lie.
But we still have a few little tools in our bag that we can identify those that are not telling the truth.
But the notion of law enforcement working hand in glove with social workers has its supporters.
We can't do what we do without law enforcement. We can do probably about a quarter of it.
That's Crystal Yarbrough. She lives in Mobile. Yarbrough runs a shelter for people in the sex trade along the Gulf Coast, and she knows about the distrust between social workers and police.
A lot of times service providers are so victim-centered that they tend to be anti-law enforcement. Sometimes law enforcement is so law enforcement that they tend to be anti-victim services.
Yarbrough sees this world from an undercover operation of her own. Not far from downtown Mobile, we won't say how far, is a small house in a quiet neighborhood. We won't say which one. It's called the Rose Center.
And then this is our kitchen. And we serve one hot meal a day here.
Sex workers and victims of trafficking can sleep, eat, wash their clothes, and get counseling. That's why we're keeping the location a secret. Yarbrough doesn't want traffickers or former Johns showing up. She says the first stop for new clients is by the front door. It's a white cabinet with a padlock.
If the girls carry something on them, it's a knife. Sometimes they carry a gun for protection. Most of the time they don't bring them in with them, but we do ask them, if you do have it with you, we lock it up. Okay, this is our laundry room, and it's just a place for them to come, put their clothes in. We don't know when the last time they were able to wash and dry their clothes, and that was not in a hotel or coin-operated.
Yarbrough is already a believer in the idea of changing mindsets among law enforcement and caregivers when it comes to helping victims of sex trafficking. But not just so cops and social workers get along. Yarbrough says the victims benefit too.
They need to know that because they have been really manipulated to believe that law enforcement is against them, that they tend, you know, to already have that mindset. We want to change that mindset because we are all a community.
Yarbrough recalls one case that shows how traumatic being trafficked can be. The victim couldn't express how she was feeling through words. Yarbrough communicated with a sheet of paper with four boxes. The first box had a happy face drawn on it with words associated with being happy. The others had faces and words for sadness, fear, and anger.
She pointed to mad, sad, afraid, and then suspicious.
The Rose Center operates only two drop-in facilities in the U.S. The one we're visiting is in Mobile, which serves the Gulf Coast between Alabama and New Orleans. The second one is in Green Bay, Wisconsin, which represents a twist when it comes to changing mindsets. Yarbrough is referring to acceptance that there's sex trafficking going on in a given community. She says people in the Deep South respond differently from those in the Midwest.
In the Midwest, it's very much like, let's fix that. What can I do about that? In the South, it's very much like, oh, I wish you had not told me about that. Oh, I did not want to know that.
And as for announcing that the Rose Center would open in Mobile in the first place?
I don't think we really told a lot of people.
Back at the sting operation in Tuscaloosa, the arrests are trickling in. Without naming names, the list includes college-aged young people, one member of the military, and a trucker who left his 18-wheeler idling in the parking lot while he allegedly dropped in to buy sex. For Christian Lim, the next step is rolling out the University of Alabama's shared trafficking database. He says the goal is to make sure trafficking victims don't get lost in the cracks.
And so you have a system now that's working together to actually truly find justice and truly help this person towards restoration, as opposed to, in the case of a defense attorney and a prosecuting attorney, a couple professionals that are looking to win a case.
And Lieutenant Beams and the West Alabama Human Trafficking Task Force will play a part in that. His team is being asked to help train state lawmen on how the task force operates. Beams says that includes his own officers who once opposed treating sex workers as possible victims of trafficking.
It was difficult to change the mindset, and across the state I think it's still difficult because we're one of the only task forces running right now that are addressing it like we do.
And perhaps changing more mindsets one at a time. Pat Duggins, APR News, in Tuscaloosa.